Hello, welcome to Social Media Weekly, episode 23rd, February 2020. Social Media Weekly is brought to you by Virtual Fellas Marketing. Get your very own corporate website built from as low as $100 with Virtual Fellas Marketing today. Terms and conditions apply. This platform is super easy to use and maintain, and it comes with state-of-the-art security. Drop us an email at admin, A-D-M-I-N, at virtualpeddlers.com for a free discovery session. My name is Sean.
And I'm G.
How are you doing?
As you can see, I'm not at home.
I'm not in the office. This is my office for the week. So if you hear, dear audience, if you hear some stray sounds here and there, I'm in the middle of forest somewhere.
I mean, I think both of us are like, you see, that's the thing. There is the real outing and there's the fake outing. So yes. Look at
that. It's always sunset on your side. I realize.
Very nice. So that is sunset, everybody.
Tell
us a little bit more where you're at right now. I see a lot of greenery here right now. Like, it looks absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it is. I'm in this place called Gibbons Retreat. It's in Bentong. Mm-hmm. It's, I guess, about 10 minutes drive over Bentong. Bentong is somewhere in the peninsula Malaysia for those international people. And yes, I'm in the middle of forest. So they have these little chalet huts where it's built on stilts.
And oh, damn.
So there are only about 6 to 7 chalets in the whole place. And each of them is its own chalet by itself on stilts. So it's very private and they are very far away from each other. So then you get a small little room, you get a bathroom, and you get a tent on the outside if you want to sleep feel closer to nature.
Okay, my biggest question right now is, did you sleep in the tent?
Yes, it was amazing.
That is the way. You know, feel the nature back again. Yeah, but it's nice, you know, right after all this COVID is happening, even though it's still going around, but we get to enjoy this kind of times like this, and it's honestly good to it's very therapeutic as well, you know, seeing the green back again, you know, being out there doing outdoor activities like this is fun. I hope you're having a great time there.
Yes, I am. Okay, I'm loving it. I wish I could stay longer, but I'm gonna head back tomorrow. So anyway, right. Back to the news. Let's start with the
Let's
news.
Let's do this.
Yep. Meta's Horizon Worlds sees increase in users. Late last year, we saw a big spike in sales of Meta's VR headsets, which were previously called Oculus headsets, but because it's Meta, someone changed the whole thing to Meta. And the company just announced that their Meta event spaces went above 300,000 people each month. So there are so many users now using all their spaces. The number has increased tenfold since Horizon Worlds. Horizon Worlds is the very famous metaverse that they tout. The one where, you know, if you go to Google and you just search Horizon Worlds, you can see demo videos of people running around without legs. So they work in the places, they play games and do all kinds of stuff there. So this is Horizon Worlds, and it was launched last December. There are already more than 10,000 worlds within Horizon Worlds platform, including spaces for games, hangouts, and work.
The thing is, Sean, can you I never checked out Horizon Worlds before. Like, maybe explain a little bit more. What do they have in Horizon Worlds?
Imagine this. Have you watched Ready Player One?
Yep, of course.
Okay, so Meta wants to create a Ready Player One world, right? But they can't make a very huge world yet. So now they're trying to do it small. So now instead of one major world, they allow people to create small worlds, like rooms, for example, right? Mm-hmm. Rooms as in if you want to hang out with your friends in a social setting, you create a room with all the little fun, kind of like playing Sims. Have you played Sims before? This game?
Yep.
Yep. Where you create a house and then you got people living in the house and doing all the stuff and interact with each other. So then you play one of the characters and you interact with other people. So you can either just sit down and hang out and chat, or you can also play games. So there are a bunch of games that you can play. So that is essentially what Horizon Worlds is right now. But they want Horizon Worlds to also be this major, huge world where all the people will come in and interact with each other. Kind of like a massive, massively multiplayer online RPG game. Have you played MMORPGs before?
Yes, I have.
Something like that. Yes.
I mean, I love this. That's the thing. I'm just waiting for when we'll be able to actually hop into the metaverse as well. Because hopefully they bring it to Malaysia soon as well. I'm really looking forward for this. Seems fun, though. I think probably later on, I wouldn't be surprised. We might be doing our podcast in Meta's world instead.
I'll be looking forward to it.
If you want that one episode, we'll just do it on Meta.
No, we'll be doing all our episodes there. And then we'll have people that sitting like there watching us, you know, on the floor watching us.
We have amazing audience.
Yeah, we actually have audience. We probably need to create some NPC audience for a while because, you know, very few people come and watch us. But eventually, we hope that we'll replace it with real humans.
Why not? It sounds like a plan to me.
So the question now is, I remember last week we talked about this question where we don't want the blue company, you know, doing a lot of this, dictating what we do and how we use social media and everything. But now they are actually pushing forward for the metaverse. And you feel as if that there is one part of you which is excited that the metaverse is coming, but another part of you is not excited that the big blue company is actually charging on the metaverse.
That's the thing. I have very much mixed feelings about this because right now they're putting in a lot of force on Meta. You know, they're putting all their attentions on Meta, but then there's so many other things at the back end that they have not settled yet. You know, all this this discriminations and stuff like that on Instagram and Facebook, you know, finding the proper algorithm for people to actually use, which is more user friendly and also it's more healthier for people to actually use it. So I really believe that they should actually try to address all this issue first before they actually push full force on Meta. But nevertheless, I mean, Meta is a great, they're doing great work right now. At the same time, I think that they should actually focus on their other platforms as well instead of just fully focusing on Meta. That's my two cents on it. That's my personal opinion. But yeah, what about you? What do you think about it, though? I want to hear what you have to say about this.
I think it's quite nice that Facebook is introducing the metaverse, this whole metaverse thing to the world. I mean, the metaverse is not exactly a very new thing. It's an old thing. You know, last time we used to call it MMORPG, or we used to call it virtual reality gaming, or we used to call it The Sims or Roblox, right?
Yeah.
But now he's changing the word into metaverse, and then because of that, now he wants to try to introduce it to the world. I think it's a good introduction, but I don't think he'll win the race. I think Microsoft is in the position to win the race, because if you're looking at it from a work perspective, Microsoft is winning because Microsoft has been an enterprise solutions provider for the world for longest time.
Yep.
And then Microsoft kept buying up huge gaming developers for the past few years, including Activision, Blizzard. There's just recent one that may or may not go through, but we know where the money is going, right? So if the metaverse is big in both gaming and work, then Microsoft is in the position to do well on both.
I think I prefer that the blue company going for it instead. I think probably this thing, everybody's focusing mainly on VR. I really hope that some of them start pushing mainly on AR as well, you know, augmented reality. That's what I'm looking forward for. But yeah, you know, what I mean, I'm wondering right now whether is it going to be Facebook or whether is it going to be Microsoft that is going to be, whether is it going to be Meta or whether is it going to be Microsoft that's going to be leading on to this, you know? It's quite interesting. And also, I guess it's a healthy competition as well.
Yeah, which is good. It's good for us ultimately, whoever wins, right? As long as they keep fighting, then it's good for us.
Yep. All right, and with that, I bring you the next news. Snapchat lets users change their usernames. I mean, I spoke to a few individuals that actually uses Snapchat, and I found out that it's actually a very good approach that they came up with this, because honestly, a lot of them have made names that they have regretted. So with that, Snapchat users are growing up, and while it's funny to call yourself Batang Berjuntai 93, or maybe I love cats 69, or it's probably not as funny now, lah. That's the thing. It might be offensive to somebody, you know. So the platform has finally given the feature its users wanted, the ability to change their usernames. this comes out affecting without affecting their friends list, snap codes, snap scores, memories, and more. So guys out there, don't worry, it's a good update. You guys don't need to worry about your sticks. Your sticks will still be there. It's not disturbed, you know.
And the best thing about it is you get to change your funky name into something more appropriate.
Correct. That's the thing. You get to, you know, you get to undo your mistakes.
Yes. You know how this reminds me of the old times when we used to have this, when we first started our first ever email address. Remember?
What was your first
email address? You know, like you have some weird funky name, and I don't remember what was my first email address, but I don't think I want to remember either. It feels like something I just want to forget forever. So you keep creating new email addresses that keeps that is a little more and more professional.
Yep. I mean, I remember once upon a time my email address did not even make sense. I mean, like, I look at myself right now and I look at my email address right now, it's a whole two different ball game essentially. Yeah. Like last time it was just funky, now it's just like fully just for work, you know?
Yeah. So it's good that the Snapchat is allowing this to happen. And of course, it's a good reminder as well to people who have all these memories and they also have a bunch of all these snap streaks that they have. They don't want to lose the records. They don't want to lose the streaks. So they give a guarantee, like you can change your username, but it will not change anything else.
Yeah.
And but yeah, also...
Oh, let me continue.
There are also a lot of people who use their snap codes and put it onto like name cards or, you know, attach it to different things. And that would really help. Like people might be thinking, if I were to change my username, then does my snap code change? Yep, if my snap code changes, I got to change a lot of stuff as well. But that's not going to happen. So all those stuff will still stay the same. The only thing that is different is the username.
But my question is right now, I think for me, I'm not too sure whether it's a predicament for Snapchat or not. But like, okay, let's just say right now, my username is, and the same name right now is Kuala Lumpur, and it's not appropriate. And I change it to Terengganu. And will like my friends and stuff like that get notifications? Because let's just say I want to follow up with a streak. If let's just say you have like 10 people following up with the streak, you do not know which is the name. So I think that might be a small, tiny issue. So I guess if somebody changes their name, maybe Snapchat, what they can do is probably give a notification to like the people that they're having streaks with and like say like, hey, this individual has changed your name from this to this. It's just one thing that I'm just thinking about lah, because I think usernames, sometimes I am sure even like if let's just say we search things on Instagram as well, probably like if somebody changed their username, you won't be able to find them anymore, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah,
I guess that is one thing that a predicament that Snapchat might face. That's what I feel about it. What do you think?
Which is what I get as well, because sometimes, you know, I'm on Instagram and I look at people, look at my feed, I'm like, hey, wait, who's this guy or who's this girl? I don't remember following them. No, who's this account? Then I look back, oh, it's this person.
They changed their name. Yeah. Correct. Exactly. So
it's that kind of thing. But then imagine if like you have a few thousand people who you follow on Snapchat and everybody change their name all the time, and you get this massive amount of notification of people changing their names, and I think that will be annoying as well.
I like to share a little bit of stories about changing names. So back in those days during my high school period, I'm not so sure whether you experienced this in MySpace or Friendster. But we used to have like people changing their names to like names that didn't even make sense. I used to know people that changed their name on Facebook to Ikan Bilis, Milo Ice. It was a ridiculous face. It was honestly damn funny lah for me. Like
it was a trendy thing, I guess. It was a trending viral thing.
It's so funny that every time when I look into it, I actually search for their name. I start getting hungry and stuff like that. You know, like, I feel like having some Milo eyes as well right now. All right, with that, okay, you can carry on with the next.
Let's move on to the next one. Let me just pull up this thing again. YouTube ramps up misinformation fight. YouTube has been the focus for spreading misinformation for a long time. Because it has a bunch of videos everywhere and it really can't control what is conspiracy theory and what is real, right?
All right.
So the company is finally taking steps to curb this. So they come up with three methods. The first one is by tackling misinformation before it goes viral. So how it's using it, how it's doing it is, they will use identifiers that are available, those identifiers that show that these are misinformation, and either provide viewers with links to credible sites instead of those. Like, let's say if I want to talk about something, let's say about a vaccination, right? And then the YouTube would actually link viewers to those credible sites instead of mine. Or if the topic is so niche that very few people talk about it, maybe like the earth is flat, or the earth is not flat, not round, but some kind of oval, then YouTube will actually cite a label below the video that says that this content lacks high quality information. The second method is by curbing the sharing of this content cross-platform. So one possible way that YouTube content gets shared across very fast is because you pull up the link and then you share it somewhere else, right? So YouTube wants to identify these videos that are labeled as misinformation and then disable the sharing, even by button, both by button and also by link, by embed, all kinds of codes.
That's good.
But this one is a bit problematic because, you know, then they go into this problem where they will be restricting the freedom of viewers, right? So at which point it stops becoming, I'm trying to curb misinformation and it goes towards, I'm trying to silence the freedom of speech. So these things become a problem as well.
True, and very true.
The third one is by monitoring local news in each region with specialized teams. In certain countries, national news networks like the BBC are trustworthy sites. But in many national news sites are actually known to spread propaganda and fake news. So it is a very big thing here in Malaysia as well. I think it was it 2016? During the Bersih Rally and all that. So during those times, our national news sites like the Star, New Straits Times and all that, they were known to be peddling propaganda and fake news, right? Because the government at that time actually spent a lot of money and threatened them to either do this or they lose their license. So it was only after that when things became a bit better. So there are countries where this kind of information, this kind of misinformation happens. They come from big news sites.
Yep. I guess it's but nevertheless, it's still, for me, I always believe that, you know, having all these restrictions and stuff like that, like what YouTube is doing, especially right now, there's gonna be drawbacks. That's 100%. But I like the approach that they're doing all of this. But to find that. See, that's the thing, there's conspiracy theories and stuff like that out there that people will be talking about, you know, spreading misinformation. But then sometimes I'm not so sure how they're going to filter out the difference between conspiracy theories and own categorized opinions and stuff like that. So that's going to be a bit of an issue for YouTube. That's what I feel. But nevertheless, it's still a very good initiative that they have taken to actually, like, you know, to take care of all this. You know, fake news are just spreading like nonstop. It spreads like wildfire.
Whenever they talk about misinformation, right, it always reminds me of like about 15 to 17 years ago when a friend of mine was doing a college thesis in university that was trying to say that marijuana is good for medical use.
Okay.
And about 15 to 20 years ago, this was not something that people talk about, especially here in East Asia. Nobody talks about this. It's a bad thing. Marijuana is bad.
It's a very taboo topic, you know?
Exactly. Mm. And imagine if you would have come out with topics or content or papers or videos that talk about these things, it would have probably been categorized as fake news or misinformation.
Yep.
But now it's not. So to me, whenever they talk about misinformation and fake news and all that, the question always remains, there will always be this gray area that certain information is so far in the future or so controversial in the sense that it is so forward, right? That we haven't reached that point yet. But it doesn't mean that it's fake. It's just that we haven't reached that point yet. So yeah, so to me, that is a gray area. La.
I mean, that's the thing. I guess it's the... do you guess... set and setting plays a very big part, and especially, you know, delivering information. That's what I really feel about it.
Yeah.
You have to know the right timing to actually give, because some certain things, I mean, like, you know, right now we have conspiracy theories, people talking about COVID has 5G and stuff like that, and it's like all related to this. So like, never know, maybe it might be true, but I highly doubt so. It's just something that I'm just thinking about.
Imagine, but yeah. Imagine like 10 years ago, you know, we realized, oh my God, all this is true.
Oh yeah. You know, eventually when you realize, it just hits into your back of your head, like, hey, wait a minute, wasn't this?
Okay, let's not talk so much about this, because if not, then our videos will get labeled as
correct. True, very true. All right, with that, let me bring you the next news. Meta restricts profile image frames. Remember when we had image frames that support certain football teams or community movements like Earth Hour, or like, you know, Deepavali time also, like, ping, like, yeah, extra filters, yeah, and yeah, stuff, yeah, like, yeah, that. Yeah. There has recently been a widespread use of profile image to support anti-vaccines. Bad shape. Guys, don't get vaccinated. That's all I want to say. Please get vaccinated. You know. So Meta has decided to restrict creations and disseminations of frames to authoritative organizations only. This is proof that we can't have nice things. And I mean, like, I don't know. For me, have you ever used the frames? I never used the frames before. I'm not gonna lie.
I used them, because there were times when they had this really cool, like, I don't remember what was it really, like, you know, I think the Bursar Rally had some of them as well. It's a yellow color thing.
Correct.
Black and white. And then whenever there were some festivities, they would have them, like you said, Deepavali and all that. So when you are celebrating something, you have that. I think I did one for Earth Hour before as well, and a lot of kinds of stuff. And want to support the LGBT and all that. So yeah, I mean, this is something that a lot of people do, and it's a fun thing to have. But you're right. I mean, we don't deserve nice things, right? I mean, if they make it nice for us to celebrate certain stuff, and then this bunch of people come and say that they are certified anti-vaxxer, my body, my choice.
I mean, like, you know, all the thing is, Meta is just taking, I don't think it's an extra precautionary step. I think it's more of just, you know what? Fuck it. Like, let's just take extra steps. So that's why they just banned the whole thing, and only, like, you know, proper organizations only that actually can get this. I think all they should do is just stop anti-vaxxers having all these frames. That's it. You know, it's so much more easier. Like, don't. I mean, like, I know some people appreciate it, and I can understand why. But I don't really stick everything, lah. Just the anti-vaxxers, not just restrict that, lah. You know, that, we don't want that to happen. You know, that's what I feel. But yeah, so besides that, what are the frames you used before? The only one that actually caught my eye was the Star Wars one, though.
Oh, Star Wars. Yeah.
I mean, your one probably Star Trek, lah.
I really don't remember. But in any case, what they're doing now is... they're actually limiting to only companies with authoritative, some form of authority to be able to come up with this frame. So no, Tom, Dick and Harry can do this anymore.
So I'm guessing organizations like WHO and stuff like that, bigger companies, like, not you simply, okay, like, that's fair that way as well. I mean, like, it's okay. Yeah. Like, let's just say if those kind of one pops up, I think probably we were still able to use. It's not completely restricted, right? So yeah, I'm looking forward to this. Let's see what other new frames that we get. I think probably I will join the team as well right now. I also want to join the frame gang.
Frame gang. All right. Last one for the day. Survey shows users don't like unsolicited DMs on LinkedIn. Well, you don't need a survey to prove this, but yeah. Out of more than 5,000 votes that came into social media today's post about the most annoying thing about LinkedIn, 33% said they hated unwanted messages. This was followed by irrelevant messages, spammers and scammers, and off-topic posts. So this is bad news for the social platform, for LinkedIn itself, because they actually have a special paid function called email, premium email. So people actually pay money to send unsolicited messages to people on LinkedIn.
Oh, this backfired.
It's a big business on LinkedIn. And now that, you know, it's something that people... That they say they don't like it. So I don't know what LinkedIn's going to do about it. But yeah, I mean, even in the works we do as well, I mean, in the works we have done as well, we have been known to try to find a way to send unsolicited DMs to people.
No, but that's the thing. We have, what we have done is we actually try to build the relationship. That's we try to build the bridge between them, you know. Like I don't think so we disturbed them, but indirectly we did. But we always believe that we build bridges first, then we then only we actually continue with that. But this is like, bro, why are you spamming, bro? Don't spam. Like
it's okay. It's okay if we are like trying to build a relationship and speak to people. Yeah. Like you don't get to know people. But you know, the ones that I don't like are the ones that they don't even try to introduce themselves and they straight away want to sell you something.
Oh yeah, those are the...
So those are the ones that really like, oh, you know what? Then I don't even want to talk to you.
Then cannot. Yeah. Listen, there are fellas all very thorough. If anybody like this listening to us right now, please don't do it. Be a better person. Be a man. Do the right thing.
And if you or your company have or are still paying money for email, you should stop paying money because it doesn't work.
Stop. Just stop. Just forget about it, you know. You get to save money. That's it. Just forget about it.
Yeah.
All right. With that, Social Media Weekly Podcast is available on Anchor FM, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Our full video is available on YouTube. And we post bits and clips on Instagram and Facebook.
If you really like Social Media Weekly, it would really help if you could rate and review on a podcast video of your choice and on YouTube so more can discover it. Social Media Weekly is on lookout for regular co-hosts to help us bring some depth to the show if you're interested. Simply drop me an email at Sean, that is S-H-A-W-N, urgentpeddlers.com. This is Social Media Weekly episode 23rd February 2022. My name is Sean.
And I'm Jaipal Singh. San.
Not even March yet.
Close. Coming there. So stay tuned, guys, for my full name.
See y'all next week.
Bye.
Bye.